City of Santa Paula Planning Commission for March 22nd, 2016 to order. And Commissioner Somers, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance? May we have a roll call?
Chairman Eckert?
Present.
Vice Chairman Robinson?
Present.
Commissioner Demers?
Here.
Commissioner Sommer?
Present.
And Commissioner Wacker?
Here.
And is the agenda that we have for tonight our final agenda, or are there any adjustments to it?
Nope, we're fine.
Good. Before we do our next item, it's good to see Peggy here tonight. Nice to see you. How are you? At this time, the public can provide public comment on any item that's not on the agenda for tonight. And before we do that, I ask that everyone in the room who has a electronic device that has a ringer or alarm or such, put it on silent so we're not interrupted throughout the meeting. And I understand we do have one for public comment tonight, so if you would come forward and provide your public comment.
And who is it?
That's Anita Polito.
Good evening, gentlemen of the Planning Commission. My name's Anita Polito. I'm a resident of Santa Paula, have lived here most of my life, and also a local realtor. I am here to represent homeowners that I have served, that we have encountered some issues, and I'm here to address the notification process for any major change to a residence, what the process currently is, and make some recommendations that would be more humane and have justice for all, basically. In reference to that, just a little short synopsis. Clients had their properties rezoned to SP7. I understand SP7 is not qualified for a rebuild letter. The home had been through three generations, and everybody died off, and the family grew, and reasons to liquidate the estate came into play. Another was rezoned California Highway Commercial, again, making it a legal non-conforming property. Another one had their property annexed from the county into the city. None of these families were aware of these changes. And I'm sure the notification process used by the city is quite qualified and proper and legal. But I would like the Planning Commission and or the city to establish a better notification process for these property owners so that they are fully aware and have a chance to respond and or comment prior to the rezoning of their personal property. In many cases, most of these properties, and rightfully so because of your 20-year planning process, etc., have been in the families for many, many years, from one generation to the other. And these are people that when they need to sell, it's really a definite need to sell. When these properties become rezoned without a rebuild letter and or become legal non-conforming, These properties have a very limited ability to have the sale process through financing, because lenders will not finance unless they get a rebuild letter, because they can't sell that loan in the secondary market. So in fairness to the peoples that own these properties, no matter who they are in our community, I would like to see a consideration of maybe a letter in their utility bill. The little public notice, which some of us may read all the time, most don't. And if they read it, they don't understand it. And so I think a more humane notification process I would like to have considered. And if they can't be grandfathered in as a home, it almost becomes a taking without compensation, because these families have to sell to an all-cash buyer. Most of the time do not get their fair market value because of the price reduction being all-cash sale. So my reason for being here is to represent those that would probably never come up and speak and address that issue, but share great concern that they are surprised. What? My property was rezoned. When and how come? And why didn't, why wasn't I notified? And in fairness, I do tell them the city uses a process of public notice, and it's in newspapers, and it's in these little articles that I know most people don't read. So I would like to entertain any questions, any explanation, if what I'm saying does not make sense. I really don't know what your processes are. Several years ago, I came to fight for a rebuild letter, and eventually we did have one that people can buy. I think it's $165 to buy the rebuild letter. So a legal non-conforming property can be financed with a rebuild letter. When the tail east end of the airport was rezoned SB7, I was told a rebuild letter could not be issued for those homes. And that was really sad, because it was a family that had lived there for three generations, and they had to practically give their home away. The one, I sold one where the city bought it years ago, and that might have been when we were flush with a little cash, and that certainly isn't possible with every one of these homes. But a consideration for a grandfathering in for an automatic rebuild, I'm asking for, and I'm also asking for better notification so that the parties that are affected by these zones have a chance to speak on their behalf. Any questions?
Thank you, Ms. Polito. Any commissioners have brief comments or questions of her?
We're not supposed to comment at this time because this is not on our agenda, but I think
You can ask questions. Ask a few brief questions of her.
City staff, would this be an appropriate item for a future agenda of the Planning Commission?
I think if Ms. Polito wants to pursue the few examples she has further, and staff has responded to her via email and other incidents, we can meet with her offline. They happen to be several projects that over the past few years have been rezoned, and without going into detail here, adequate public notice required by state law was provided to the property owners, often the occupants, and ads in the newspaper. But I understand, as and Ms. Polito has expressed, that she has represented some of these incidents or situations and would like additional information, which staff can provide to her at a staff level. I'm not sure that it requires a planning commissioner's item, because I believe we follow what we need to with public noticing, and as she indicated, there's a couple incidences that she has additional questions about that we can go with her at a staff level. Walk her through legal nonconforming, the rebuild letter, and the purpose behind what happened with some of the properties she mentioned that are no longer zoned residential.
So are you saying that in all instances, proper due diligence has been followed?
Yes, it has been, and we'd be happy to sit down with her if she'd like to go through the properties that she has been representing and explain if she needs a time chart as to when they were rezoned and how we went about doing that.
So is it a matter of these people simply not understanding the process?
Well, according to them, Mr. Robinson, they had no clue. What is SB 7? What does that mean? What is commercial highway? What does that mean? I've been dealing with the county all my life. I didn't know I was in Santa Paula city limits. So I can't speak for whether they understood or not. I'm just saying maybe a letter, a physical something, other than a public notice in a newspaper. So I don't know. I need some consideration, discussion, and maybe putting it on the table for further discussion with the Planning Commission if that is feasible.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
I just had a comment to make, and you know, and I understand that to support various developments and projects and such, the rezoning may be required and the notification process, but I'm just left wondering that if the city finds it necessary to change the zoning or change the city boundaries or the property owner is then left with a significant reduction in the value of their property for resale, that it seems as if that you know, it seems that there's probably something more that the city could do. And I don't know if this is an issue for the planning department or for the city council, but a administrative action that results in a significant loss of value to an individual property owner just strikes me as something we probably don't want to do unless there's a really, really good reason behind it. And again, I don't know if we're the right body to take that up, and I understand we can't do anything because it's not an agendized item tonight. But I don't know if this is something we want to take up, or the planning department, or the city attorney's office, or city council. But I would just suggest that we might want to dig into that a little deeper.
I think it's within the, since it's been brought to the Planning Commission, I think what I would like to see is staff review it and provide us the information of what the appropriate action should be in response to the question that was posed tonight. Does that make sense?
Go ahead.
I understand that the direction is for staff to look into this and come back on a future agenda.
At a future agenda.
A future meeting to report that.
Yes. Does that have to be something voted on by the commission, or is that all that we need?
This is a commission action.
Good.
You should probably take a vote to make it formal.
Just to elaborate on Chairman Eicher's comment there, would it be possible now to let us know what the process is, or would it be better to come back at a future agendized item?
How much can I go into this right now? What would you prefer?
You can give a brief response.
Okay.
But if a deeper response is required by the commission or desired by the commission, that should be brought back at a future meeting.
Brief works.
Okay. I'd be happy to, if that's okay with you. Briefly, the process that the city of Santa Paula uses to notify individuals of public hearings, whether it be for a conditional use permit, specific plan, zone change, subdivision, is as follows. We put an ad in the local newspaper here, the Santa Paula Times. We send a postcard or a letter out to the property owner and properties affected within 300 feet of that particular project itself. usually with the specific plans, which would have been SP7 and East Area 1 and 2, which are some of the properties that Ms. Polito happens to be referring to. We've often sent it to the occupant or resident in addition to the property owner, notifying them of the project description, hearing date for Planning Commission and City Council. Without too many specifics, the situations that Ms. Polito is referring to are properties that at one time were residential and potentially were residentially zoned, but over the years have been changed for a variety of reasons. SP7 is within airport area, and it's a public health and safety problem of having residences within the flight path of airplanes. So it was legal nonconforming. It's allowed certain expansion, but at a certain point in time, the hope is that those residential uses will no longer be in the path of airplanes. Some of the others were East Area 1 and 2, which required annexations. Part of East Area 2 was in the county, and I can't necessarily address what the zoning was when it was in the county, but to bring it into the city limits, we needed to do a rezoning. Once again, the public hearing process that I just spoke about was utilized. I hope that gives you a little overview of the process that's used.
It satisfies what I thought the process was, and with that information, I'm not sure that we need to have it come back in front of us, because if the postcard was sent out to the occupants or owners and within a 300-foot radius of that area, that's going to do everything that Ms. Polito has asked as far as to put it into a utility bill. You know, you can't do anything
agree.
More than that.
I would agree. Okay. That'll end our public comment. Consent calendar. We have the minutes of the February 23rd Planning Commission meeting. Commissioners had a chance to read those and review them.
Make a motion. We approve the minutes.
Second.
The motion and second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Okay. Next, we'll open the public hearing for the agenda items. Was there a legal notice made for this hearing tonight?
Yes. Verification of legal notice requirements for the public hearing have been done.
Any commissioners have any conflicts to declare? Any ex parte contacts as well? None? Hearing none? Hearing none, I'll open the public hearing on 2016 CUP 01 Santa Paula Collision Center. And I think we'll have the staff give a presentation on that. Are you ready to go with that, Tom?
Sure.
Or are we going to have
Dante Dobernick will be doing the presentation.
Good. Okay.
For the request.
Good.
Good evening, Chair and Commissioners. The following is a hearing on the request of Oliver, the applicant is here today, to consider case number 16, CUP01, application filed on February 26, 2016, and to determine that the project is exempt pursuant to section 15301 of the state guidelines for implementation of the California Environmental Quality Act. And I should have probably pushed the button beforehand. There we are. So we have the building facade here. This item being presented today is a conditional use permit and a minor landscape review for a new auto body repair, paint shop and used auto sales business at an existing legal non-conforming vacant commercial storefront and parking lot. Now the proposed business, the Santa Paula Collision Center, would primarily provide auto body repairs and you know, the painting, and then secondarily they would engage as an accessory use in used vehicle sales. We're going to hear the words legal non-conforming several times tonight. By coincidence, both projects involve legal non-conforming, or none of them involve a rezone or whatnot. They've both this Santa Paula Collision Center and the Econo Storage, item two, have been the same use, the same zone, general plan for years and years, but it is, bear in mind, the aspects of legal nonconforming. We'll go through this particular site, the Collision Center, has a lot of different angles, and it's important that we look at it from various viewpoints in here. So this is from across Mill Street. That's the main entrance into the customer parking lot, and you will recognize the Glen Tavern on the right. Here is the south side of the customer parking lot, and that's the abuts the building, the Collision Center there. Looking across from the sidewalk on Mill Street northward, you see the banquet facility for the Glen Tavern Inn and the property line there at the fence. And from another angle within the customer parking lot right there. The landscape plan would change some of the existing landscaping as described in the staff report. Currently, it does not meet the current regulations, which is 20% of the site area, as detailed extensively within the staff report. Achieving all of the landscaping is simply mathematically not possible. So the existing small planter box and strip there along the northern boundary would be expanded to bring it up, you know, to a goodly amount, but not in full compliance, but a fair amount. Some other views. This is looking across the rear behind the secure fence and to the north where the Glen Tavern is. And now along the long axis, looking towards Mill Street, and on those trees and that little strip would remain. Those are sort of creeping over from the Glen Tavern. That's their rear parking lot buffer. So all that in essentially in the rear lot there would stay as is. Now we'll move to the interior. This is the entry off of Mill Street into the entry bay, the mechanics area. It's a fairly deep building, but luckily it does have the skylights. Here we have the car lift, and you notice those large braces. That was the seismic retrofit that you might have read about in the staff report that made this building deemed for fit for further use. And the high-tech modern paint booth that's there, fully enclosed, vented, and applicant has gone through the air quality with the county. And this is the showroom. You can see the chairs and the little lobby area there for waiting and whatnot. On the inside, which vehicles could be displayed in there for sale or maybe just showing off restoration work. The aerial view we have here. Now, the subject property is on Mill Street between Main and Santa Barbara's. The entire building is around a little over 8,000 square feet, two stories, constructed in the early 1900s of concrete block with a stucco finish. Now, our building records basically begin in 1970 when this was Tony Bridges Chevrolet. And similar auto uses have occurred, you know, in the intervening decades. And overall, this building's inception, it has primarily been auto-related uses as far back as pretty much we can find this building here. It's over 100 years. And so the current proposal continues this pattern of auto body repair, paint shop, and auto sales, which is not very different from what it's been for many, many years. The general plan, the entire parcel, is designated as commercial. And with the zoning district, it's entirely within the general commercial, as are the adjacent buildings next to it. For the environmental review, the proposed project is exempt pursuant to CEQA section 15301, which is very common with these sort of projects. And so the CUP consists solely of minor alterations of existing private structures and no expansion of use. I mean, there's some, you know, changes to the site overall, but we're not increasing the building or anything else, just basically allowing a new business to come in. So in conclusion, overall, again, this legal non-conforming will remain static. We've, after the completion of the various lot improvements, it does encourage the attraction and retention of new business within the city, and it is compatible with the surrounding land uses as conditioned, and that is important. We are sensitive that there is the Glen Tavern to the north, and the conditions of approval, which have been reviewed by the applicant, are felt to be a fair and balanced approach to maintaining that auto-related use next to the Glen Tavern. We have a modern air booth, you know, with high-quality ventilation systems, and there's a noise ordinance already in place, so no need for additional criteria with that. And so that's why, with all the applicable Santa Paula Development Code standards and policies have been met. So the recommendations are to commission make the required findings for approval of the project as specified in Attachment A of the staff report, determine that the project is exempt from environmental review as specified in the staff report, and approve the project subject to the conditions in Attachment A. That concludes the presentation. Thank you. I'm available for questions, and the applicant is here as well, as a reminder.
Commissioners, any questions of staff at this time? You'll have another chance. Commissioner Robinson.
Could you go back to one of your earlier slides where you were showing the perimeter of the parking lot on the north side?
Oh, let's see, perimeter of the park. Oh.
Yeah, there you go.
That one here, yes.
And I read the report. I was a little what are they going to do with their limited landscaping, particularly in this area?
In the rear, anything? Nothing.
Nothing.
It's not required. All the landscaping was mainly to achieve, to try to get it up. 20% is not feasible. Just mathematically, it's not possible.
Simply that little border on the front?
Correct, yeah. You saw it. It was that little planter box and that little strip technically don't even meet the current requirements, which is a 5-foot depth. You can grant them some credit, which gets it to about, I think, 2 or 3%. And with these site improvements, it comes up to 5%. But all of that is front-loaded. So there's also staff looks at the cost-benefit ratio. Putting the landscaping deep in the rear lot, there's already enough little random vegetation back there. Doesn't do a whole lot, but bringing that front into compliance. There's also no parking within the front setback, which is the first 10 feet. The clear sight triangle for exiting onto Mill Street would be improved. So most of the benefits to bringing it into compliance are found towards the front of the lot, so the rear could remain as is.
Thank you.
I have one question of staff. On the existing conditions, it says a 10 horsepower air compressor would operate at 78 dBA.
Correct.
And then on Exhibit A, page 4, the noise threshold for the city is only 70.
Yes.
So how is that going to?
Well, the sound does attenuate over distance, and so the compressor does operate at a higher level, but that measurement for the 70 is at the property line.
So the property line.
Right, and okay. So that was the condition that is taken verbatim out of the noise ordinance that's already on the books, that it's not been tweaked in any way. So that would be a standard, so that should there be claims of noise, this is essentially a reminder that there would be have to be no more than 70 decibels at the property
line. At the property line, okay, thank you.
Any other questions by commissioners at this time? If not, we have one request for public comment. Cheryl Hamlin.
Well, good evening, commissioners. Happy spring. I recently had some body work done on my car. I hate to say it, but I did. And I took it over to Ventura. And there's Dolan and Market and all those streets that are kind of in back of Target there. And there are a dozen of these types of businesses, auto repairs, and for different types of cars. But they all seem to have similar characteristics. They have one big parking lot, like this one does, filled with a bunch of cars that are in various states of repair. For example, some just came out of a crash. Some have had part of the body. Some have had, little work. Guys hang out. They love it. This is a guy thing. The other thing, of course, there is varying states of noise. Obviously, this sounds a little bit better. The other thing that I noticed, because we had to make multiple trips before we got it just right, that sometimes cars arrive on long flatbed trucks because they've been in crashes, right? So they have to deliver these to the site. So I'm wondering if they're going to be increasing the traffic with that kind of a delivery of the, that kind of a vehicle. Also, they have special bins for their paint because there are special cars that come and take the paint away. There are special paint recycling bins. I'm wondering if that's another kind of traffic. What I'm leading up to is I really question the statement that this is a compatible use to what is arguably the nicest commercial property in Santa Paula. Maybe 100 years ago when the zoning wasn't so strict, it was looser. It was possible, but as we've evolved and hopefully as we gentrify the town a bit and bring in more businesses, tourist-serving businesses, I'm just wondering if you're having a nice wedding for your daughter and on the lawn as they do, it's very genteel, and a flatbed truck drives up with a trashed car, for example. And plus, I think there are lights that have to be on all night long because if the inventory is in that parking lot, sometimes it's valuable and you want to keep people from stealing it. So I really question it, the compatibility issue, and I think that as a commission you should think about compatibility, because I can name another half a dozen properties on Main Street that frankly aren't compatible, that I believe this body's approved. So that I think, you know, specifically and generally, you should talk about compatibility.
Thank you, Ms. Hanlon. That's the only public comment that I have, unless there are someone else out there. All right. Commissioners, any other questions or discussion about this?
Ms. Hanlon actually spoke exactly what I was thinking of. You know, this property is kind of sandwiched in between the Glen Tavern Inn, which is a, you know, it's a historic Hotel of America property. It's definitely a destination property, one of the very few we have in this city. And then Main Street, which we're, I guess, making some attempt to redevelop and gentrify and improve as a core business area for the city. And then it's kind of sandwiched in between those two, we have this. So I'm just wondering about the compatible use, how that determination is made, who makes that determination, and what the logic was to come up. And I understand that historically it was, you know, back in time it was a Chevrolet dealership and et cetera, but, you know, as the city evolves and as we try to evolve it and try to develop it in the highest and best use of that land and the very valuable downtown space, of how that determination of compatibility is arrived at.
Excuse me, that is a fair question. This is the continuing challenge when you do have legal non-conforming, and especially in the historical core. This does reflect that not everything there would be, as you mentioned, you know, built according to today's standards, so to speak. Now, currently there's more of a segregation of uses. In the older cores, there's always a sort of historical legacy plus what is new. The operations are conditioned here so that all work must be maintained within the enclosed building, although can be opened. Those can be shut again if the noise issue comes much. Light and glare, you discuss that with the applicant. Well, the light fixtures will not change. They are already directed downward to prevent, you know, glare and spillover from going into the adjacent lot. The air quality standards are required to meet the current ones through the Ventura County Environmental Health. And as you know, those are not getting any easier to do. The applicant has mentioned that the paint is water-based. So it is probably different than the style of paint that was used in the past. I know probably less VOCs and whatnot. The applicant would be best able to answer those questions. In terms of delivery of vehicles and whatnot, it still does occur throughout Mill Street and throughout the downtown just because of the variety of business. For example, next door is Jazz Products. They've been there since the late 60s, manufacturing fuel cells and injection molded plastic for off-road vehicles, and they have a manufacturing and distribution facility right next door as well. So these legal non-conforming uses populate the entire area down there, and our goal is to retain business, encourage economic expansion, at the same time minimize the negative spillovers and provide a fair and balanced approach for that. And that's why going through the conditions and looking at what the activities occur, where they occur, and in the how they do their operations is a big factor of this. So if the noise gets too much, the doors can be shut. If they continue to be excessively loud, that's where, you know, we can come out to the property line and assess. Hopefully there'd be a good neighbor policy, but the conditions are in there to help maintain the compatibility with the surrounding uses.
Mr. Wacker?
Yes. This compatibility issue is something that I flagged right away when I read the staff write-up. I'm fairly new to Santa Paula, but that area from 10th Street down to 8th Street on Main Street and then the crossing streets, they seem to work together, but in terms of dropping in place to repair and rebuild cars seems really non-conforming and not compatible with what we're trying to do with the downtown area. So I still question whether it really is compatible and who ultimately makes the final decision on compatibility.
Okay. Any other commissioners? Fred? Commissioner Robinson?
Okay. Anita Polito out there and myself are probably old enough to remember when this was William L. Morris Chevrolet in the 50s and 60s. And one of the exciting events in town was when the new cars would come out every fall. And we would come downtown, and Carl Beasley Oldsmobile was on 8th and Main. Remember that, Anita? And Firestone was downtown, and they had a full-scale garage repair and sales center, and up a little further was Western Auto. So this is, I think, historically something that's happened downtown. And would I prefer that auto repairs be out in an industrial area away from downtown next to the Glen Tavern? Yes, I would, but we haven't developed those corridors in Santa Paula to make those opportunities available to business folks like this. So I will support this resolution. I think these folks have invested quite a bit there, and to make an exception of them would be unacceptable to me. There are many other operating businesses downtown that I would prefer not be there, like tattoo parlors and smoke shops and other kinds of things that certainly weren't the character of this community when I grew up. So these guys have done a good job, and I think we have a responsibility to honor. They've complied with the law, with the process, and I will support it.
I'm gonna go ahead and weigh in here now. Overall, yeah, the existing situation is a eyesore. And I commend you to take on the job there to improve it. And I know the city's trying to, you know, help you with that decision on some of the things. One of the things, in reading through it in very much detail, it seems everything's going to be inside, and there's different boundaries and things like along that line. So I feel comfortable with that aspect. Just a couple of comments. Your ADA bathroom, the location of that, I feel is inappropriate. And I don't think that, I think you may want to rethink that, because you have it back in the service bay. And from a liability standpoint and insurance, most auto repair places, you cannot go into those facilities. So for your ADA, I think you should have it up in the office as a suggestion. I don't know what the legalities are, but I'm just going from an insurance standpoint.
Yeah, you apologize for, we have to do it that way,
but
once we...
I apologize. Go ahead and come up and introduce yourself. Yeah, sorry.
What do I have to do? Oh, Sean Oliver.
Yeah.
For legalities, yes, we have to have the ADA. Mm-hmm. The current bathroom, and at the opposite, it's been there for a long time, is just too small. So our intention is, once to get in there, we don't want the ADA back there either. And the bathroom that we have is really, it's not the size that I would want our customers. So we're going to tear into it, open it up, make it ADA client. But for this purpose, to comply with the CUP, we have to have a compliant ADA.
Right.
So we're using that back one currently.
Okay. As long as you're aware of the potential liability and insurance and aspects on that. From a personal aspect, I'm not crazy about the chain link fence. And when you have the customer parking lot in that area, I'd like to encourage you to think about, maybe you have that one island that's behind that chain link fence, which is approximately 10 feet wide.
Yeah.
Is maybe flipping that and having that on the mill side of the fence. And I would prefer not see a chain link there.
The chain link fence would, what it was designed for, I assume, because it was before that we got there.
Mm-hmm.
It's still there. It has a lattice fence to it, mm-hmm. probably to hide what was ever behind there.
Right.
That's my guess is. Mm-hmm. So the fence is falling apart and dilapidated right now, so we do want to change it. Mm-hmm. So we're open to any suggestions on
it. That just be my own personal suggestion is because that is, you know, with the Glen Tavern right next door, and it'd be a highly visible area that way, and for the weddings and outside events and things like that. I mean, it, right now, it looks like a piece of you-know-what. So when you get done with it, it's going to look a lot nicer. I understand that.
I spoke with the Glen Tavern owner. She's come down very nice. She loves what mm-hmm. we have planned, and, you know, we want to really be in theme with them. They've done a great job, and right. we want to compliment them with our facility as well.
Right. But say just to me, that'd be an easy fix between parking spot 11 and 12 if you just switched and put,
sure.
put that and perhaps added another island on the side with your building. That way, you know, if you wanted to go with a chain link and disguise it, you at least should have some plant material there, and you just have the gate that's going to be exposed. One of the comments earlier about items that would happen at Glen Tavern, I know you're only Monday through Friday and an appointment only on Saturday. Would it be work to what you're thinking of the business right now to not have any deliveries on Saturday when there
no
are
deliveries on Saturday?
Okay, so like a delivery of a wrecked car and things like that would have to
delivery
be Monday through Friday.
Of a car, we would have to. Our manager, who's here, he lives in Santa Paula. He's a resident,
mm-hmm.
and he lives 5-10 minutes away.
Okay,
so it's forwarded to his cell phone. He'll get it. He'd open it up. We can't leave vehicles outside for insurance purposes.
Right.
They all have to come inside. So in that one entryway, he'd roll up the door, drop it, close it, gone.
Okay, so it's not going in the back parking lot at all then?
No, because then it's not a really high secured place.
Okay.
And we're still liable for it.
So deliveries then of a wrecked car into
we don't
that?
We any deliveries because we won't
During a wedding, it's not going to be an issue.
Okay.
Okay. Those were the areas, yeah, that I know it's a challenge with your landscaping there, but yeah, if you could just improve upon that plan a little bit more than what's there would be nice.
We're doing, yeah. Part of it was to open up for the, I think every first Friday or last Friday, I can't remember which, you guys have a car show.
First.
Well, I noticed when we were cleaning and painting that they have nowhere to park. So we want to open up that lot and let them park their cars there while they're waiting as they can come down the show. And we want to open our doors for that. And actually, we're going to put like pool tables and other stuff in there so the public can come in during that time as well.
Awesome. Nope. You got some encouraging things there. And one last question, since you're there, on the landscaping plan, I believe it was a minimum of 5 trees. I don't see those on the plan, but is that
8?
Or 8 trees? Okay.
8 trees, yeah.
8 trees, okay. Those are there someplace.
We will strategically push them. I was just telling my manager, Mike, I'll get with the Planning Commission, but I'm thinking more of like fruit trees, something that has nice aroma to it, versus a bush, so to speak.
I was just curious because I didn't see them on the plan, but I read it in the report, so
yeah.
Thank you very much. That's all I have.
Don't go away.
Sorry.
Do you have a business elsewhere right now?
We have 2 businesses elsewhere.
And where are they?
One is located in Pasadena, another one is located in North Hollywood.
In North Hollywood?
Yeah.
And about how many people will you be employing if this goes through?
Probably up to 12.
Up to 12?
Yeah. And her comment on having to go to Ventura is the reason why we're here in Santa Paula.
Good. I have to echo what several of the commissioners have said. One, the compatibility, but I do know the history of that, and I do know that there are a lot of businesses within the city, or a lot of vacant business buildings within the city that have no businesses. And I've walked past that area since the, I think it was, which one of the donation organizations?
Rescue Mission.
Yeah, Rescue Mission that was in there for the longest time. And I think it would improve that street for something to be put in there and cleaned up and so forth. And frankly, this is a town that's big on automobiles. We got lots of folks here that got some old-time cars, probably some of them sitting up here at in the dais that like to bring them out and show them. I think it's good to have more business in Santa Paula when it's a tough time out there. I know staff has worked really closely with you to come up with what will work within the small footprint that's there, and I know that's tough to do in today's world and keep it still somewhat of the historic Santa Paula. I commend you for, you know, I understand you have the spray booth that's already been permitted and approved.
Yes.
And that's a biggie. That's unusual. They usually, you have to give up future grandchildren to get an approval on that.
Well, the paint system
in this county, anyway.
Yeah, they're a water-based system, so they're actually 7 parts ionized water.
Yeah.
You can almost drink it.
Yeah, that's what I understand, too. It's good to see. I'm kind of like with Commissioner Robinson. I have to speak in favor of it at this point. So unless there are any other questions of you or of staff, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make that motion. But first, are you aware of Cruise Night?
I am. That's
how
I...
Will you be opening your showroom for that?
We will.
Oh, good. And you do display some of your work and classic cars there?
We have two. I don't know if you saw in the picture. We have two in our showroom.
An old Nova, and what was the other one?
What is that old one? 61 T-Bird.
I'd like to move adopt resolution 3746, approving CUP landscape review for new auto body repair shop and used auto sales business, existing legal non-conforming, as presented.
Second.
I'll second.
It's moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you
very much. So we move on to the next item on the agenda, 2015 CUP 02 Econo Storage Caretaker Dwelling. And the public hearing is still open, but I have no cards.
Okay, well, just give us a moment here, and in the meantime, I'll let you know that the item was legally noticed properly.
Yep. Good, thanks.
Excuse me. And then, are you ready, Dante?
Yes.
Okay, then let me hand it back over to Dante, who's our big hitter this evening for the second project, which is the Econo Storage Caretaker Dwelling. Dante, go right ahead.
Thank you. The following is a hearing on the request of Henry Alvis Nelly, who is present here today, to consider case number 15, CUP-02, the application filed on July 21st, 2015, and to determine that the project is exempt pursuant to section 15301, the state guidelines for implementation of the California Environmental Quality Act. This will be a caretaker dwelling for a mini storage. So the item today is the conditional use permit to allow an after-the-fact conversion of 4 storage units and a portion of an existing office area within building number 5, and it'll be allowing conversion to a caretaker's residence at an existing self-storage facility, the Econo Storage, shown here on the screen. Now, this conversion would serve as the primary living quarters of an existing indoor and outdoor storage business. New development proposed for the project is limited to interior remodeling to incorporate the living space, minor ramping and striping for ADA compliance, and replacement of the existing front chain link fence with a wrought iron fence. So when you look over in the aerial for the general plan, you'll notice that the entire parcel and its adjoining ones are commercial, in the 1998 certified general plan. Similarly, the zoning district, it's entirely within the commercial light industrial zoning, as are the adjacent properties. And down below, you'll notice, you can probably see it better here in the green, on the south, that's the setback for the rail line. You might have seen the photo of that in the staff report. Going forward is the aerial view. That star indicates the location that is building 5 of the 5 buildings where the caretaker's dwelling would be. You know what? Okay, I'm a page off. So if we do, similar to the other presentation, we're going to take a few walk around the site and look at some of the sites. So this is a view from across East Santa Paula Street, the main frontage. This is the building number 5 with the office, the caretaker's dwelling, and then the rear ones there, where you can see the hints of the roll-up doors. Those being remain as storage units. This would be the door into the bedroom, which you'll note the difference in that door versus the other ones. It's a typical pedestrian door, as opposed to a solid door or the roll-up door or the other rental units, of which there's about 50 scattered throughout the site, mainly in the buildings there. The outdoor storage is a long, deep lot, hard, bare earth, looking out mainly RVs, vehicles, cargo containers, that sort of thing. And the environmental review, again, the proposed project is exempt pursuant to CEQA Section 15301. And similar to the other one, this CUP consists solely of minor alterations to existing private structures and therefore complies with the CEQA exemption category. Now, let's note that this work has already been done, and so this CUP would essentially regulate what was an unregulated project. Now, the legal non-conforming status that's come up many times tonight, that would still remain. The history of this site dates back to at least 1955, so things have changed since then. But overall, the conditional use permit does allow a caretaker's dwelling within a commercial light industrial application, which is not uncommon for security, property maintenance purposes, and whatnot. And so the improvements here, mainly to regulate and bring it into compliance, is for various health and safety purposes. And the compatibility with the existing land uses is defined by the caretaker's unit in the commercial light industrial zone, and therefore meets all of the applicable Santa Paula Development Code criteria. So in conclusion, the staff recommends that the commission make the required findings for approval of the project specified in Attachment A of the staff report, determine that the project is exempt from environmental review, as also is mentioned in the staff report, and approve the project subject to the conditions in Exhibit A and Attachment B. And Attachment B is the site plan with a list of itemized various repairs called out. And that concludes the presentation. And staff and applicant are available for questions.
Commissioners, questions of Dante? At this time, no? Okay, no questions of you. Thanks, Dante.
Make a comment?
Sure. Commissioner Robinson.
Because it's my night, huh? So the approval would legalize essentially something that's already been built.
That is correct.
This is a residence for a caretaker?
Yes, it is.
Is the owner or the applicant available?
Yes, the gentleman is.
Could you come forward, please? This is a comment more than a question, but maybe he can respond to it. The earlier discussion on posting, I went up to this property, and I think it was an old Bracero camp. I seem to remember that when I was a kid. Is that correct?
Yes, Bracero housing when they built.
Yeah, they used to be. There were several of them in town. They were painted green, and but anyway. So your caretaker lives there for security purposes?
Yes, he will.
Primarily. That whole area, including this property, it looks awful because there's these huge rows of Constantine wire around the properties. And I guess my question, is that necessary when you have on-site security?
Well, the problem we have mostly is with homeless people.
Homeless people?
Looking place to live. Keeps it safe.
Okay, that just really jumped out at me as I drove around there. It looks like you're in a, basically a high security prison environment that end of town. But fortunately, it's kind of way out of the way of everything. All right, thank you very much.
Well, just to echo in on that comment, under the summary, and also staff brought it up. The replacement of the chain link fence in front is going to be with wrought iron, so at least the visible part from the street is going to be.
Yeah, I noticed that.
An improvement, so.
Yeah, nice improvement.
But on the sides and the back, that's another issue.
Yeah, having conducted a site visit, it was very clear that all of these idle RVs are, you know, rich targets for someone seeking a ideal home. So I understand that there is a tremendous level of security, but you know, they are protecting folks' private property, and
it just sends such a horrible message about our town. I just kind of got sick at my stomach when I saw that.
I'm not sure if we're addressing this, but the gentleman in the rear had wanted to ask two questions, but he would be speaking in Spanish. Do we have someone that?
We have somebody, Anita?
Anita might. Oh, is that being
can you help us out here?
Sure.
We're going to put you to work.
Ángel Escobedo, soy residente aquí de la ciudad de Santa Paula por 48 años.
Venga hacia el micrófono.
Mi nombre es Ángel Escobedo, soy residente de la ciudad de Santa Paula, vivo aquí por 48 años. Vivo en la colonia esa donde van a hacer esa cosa con Starish. Ahí está mi casa en esa área. Entonces tengo dos preguntas para aquí, para las personas. La primera es, ¿cuál es el reporte de...?
Sí, señor, con permiso, tiempo para...
His name is Mr. Escobedo. He's lived in the community for 48 years, and he resides near the area where this project is coming up. And he has two questions. His first question is...
Primero, antes de hacer las dos preguntas, les quería decir a ellos que ellos saben que allí el área donde está, donde se va a hacer eso, todo lo que es la colonia esa, se hizo en 1984. Entonces, ahí nomás hay como el 50% de la gente que habla inglés, o sea, la segunda generación. Hay mucha gente que no habla inglés. Entonces me gustaría que mandaran todo lo que es la propaganda, inclusive de esto, porque esto es algo importante, en español, la traducieran a español.
He is indicating that the majority of the people that live in this area, 50%, do not speak English, and he would like to see a clear explanation of the project that's taking place so that they understand it, notification so they can address the situation.
La primera pregunta, me gustaría que es cuando ellos manden un reporte de tráfico a todos los residentes de esa área, nos lo mandaran en español.
He's requesting that if a traffic study and or information on the project is sent, that it be sent in Spanish.
Y la segunda es la segunda pregunta es el reporte ambiental también, si nos lo pudieran mandar en español.
He wondered if they could receive an environmental report also in Spanish due to the fact that the majority of the people that live there do not speak English and they are Spanish-speaking people.
Era todo lo que tenía nomás para saber nosotros qué es lo que está pasando, porque en inglés no sabemos ni de lo que se está tratando.
He says that's all he wanted to share because they don't know what's going on, they just know something's going on, and they would like to know what's going on.
Okay, thank you very much, sir.
Okay, gracias. Gracias.
Yeah, can I just ask the question of specifically what area he's talking about and where he lives in regards to the project?
Which project is he talking about?
I think he's probably talking about the first.
It's not this.
Yo vivo por la calle Gaiverson. Allí vivo desde 1984, donde que se hizo el proyecto.
He lives at 1284 Gaiverson.
No, por la... Por la Gaiverson, en Santa Paula, 308 North Gaiverson.
308 North Gaiverson is where he resides. And that would be at the very end, almost to the end of East Santa Paula Street.
What project
¿Cuál proyecto? Está hablando de...
Del Econo Story, sí. Aquí está, mire. Esta es mi dirección y está tres casas donde lo van a hacer.
He says he lives three homes away from the project and his address is verified as 308 North Guyberson Street.
Okay.
Guyberson runs north and south from the project area, I guess.
Okay, thank you. Commissioners, any other comments? Yes, Mr. Tarantino.
Basically, we're approving something that's already been done.
Yes, building and safety was initially called out in relation to the initial incident. They have already gone through the process of working with the applicant to bring things into compliance, and currently the code case has been closed because the applicant decided to go through this process, the CUP,
to
which
bring
is,
it
know,
into compliance.
After the fact, yes.
That's
everything that's been done there meets our current codes?
Yeah, the field inspector has already reviewed all of that and finds it satisfactory.
Okay.
No outstanding code violation at this time.
Could you address the zoning of where this gentleman resides? Is that zoned residential?
No, that's a great question. I know exactly which area he's referring to. Let's go back to, it cuts it off. Pardon?
You have a pointer?
Yeah, it's all the same scale.
Residential streets are to the north there.
No, but across of there is the former Mexican Housing Workers Association developed back in the day for the Sunkist.
Packing plant,
yeah.
Is it still residential?
Yes, it's all very small lot residential. I don't know if it's zoned residential, but it is all residential units out there, numerous small lots, single-family homes on tiny lots.
There was something up there, I remember.
Well, it's probably all work. I mean, this property here was worker housing.
Right, I know the one that's hooked up doesn't have the internet.
I would...
Certainly. He said they're all under the understanding that this is going to be a facility for the elderly.
No.
Caretaker.
No.
I told him, are you aware that
please tell him this is not, this is.
And that's why they want it in their language, because they all think it's a care facility for the elderly.
No.
Okay.
Caretaker is kind of a play on words for them.
If you would take a minute to explain, it's a caretaker for this Econo storage. It's not an elderly, a big housing product.
It's not a housing project.
Right.
My
Correct.
Understanding, it's a conversion of an area or a unit on site for the caretaker for security purposes.
Right, correct.
Okay, let me tell him. Let me confirm that to him, because he said, we all think it's a care facility for the elderly.
No, and that's understandable, just with the word in, lost in translation.
These are the kinds of things that happen out there that I deal with on resales, with misunderstanding and not knowing the process. It creates chaos. So let me explain to him again.
Thank you.
Commissioners, any other comments?
Can I make one comment?
Yes.
The notice on site and the notice postcards that do go out, they do have a one line at the bottom in Spanish that says, if you have questions, please call the contact at the planning department. And you know that those questions can be addressed. So we do what we can to do that, but sometimes the message doesn't always get across. So
good, thank you. I think you've answered my questions related to the project. I was concerned about all of the code issues. If those are all resolved to the city's satisfaction, even though I don't like to to do after-the-fact kind of approvals of anything. I'm willing to support this.
Yeah, I would concur with the chairman that, you know, after the fact is sometimes problematic, but in this case, the applicant seems to have made all the necessary effort to comply, so I would be supportive.
I'll make a motion that we approve Resolution 3744 in the CUP 2015-02 as discussed here this evening.
I would second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? None. Motion carries. Okay, any new business? City communications from the planning department.
Sure. I'll take an opportunity to just update the commissioners on a few items. As you're aware, Williams Homes, known as River Rock, the recirculated environmental document mitigated negative declaration was out for review. You've seen copies of it. The public comment period closed March 8th. Staff and the environmental consultants are working on reviewing and responding to the letters that we received. And in due course, the project will come before the Planning Commission and then City Council. I don't have date certain yet on that. Also, as you're aware, the city's embarked upon its general plan update. We did have one workshop the end of last year. The consultant, John Douglas, is working on some data gathering. Also, Tom and John have been collating the huge response we got to the surveys, which was just wonderfully amazing. But it does now take time for collation and some data with that. We hope to get another workshop in, I hope sometime this spring, and keep moving forward, because we'll also need to look at reviewing of the policy and goals and also starting the NOP process, note of preparation for the environmental document, and get CEQA moving on this if we want to stay on our timeline with that. Also, the County of Ventura is embarking upon updating its general plan, and I was just at a meeting regarding that. And they are taking a very all-inclusive approach this time, where they will be sending out information and asking some input from all of the cities within the county. At this point, I don't know the extent of that request, but it was just very nice to hear that they're interested in hearing from each of us in the various communities, because as you know, city and the county do have to work together, and we don't want to be at cross purposes for certain policies and goals. Also, we have tentatively scheduled for the April 4th council meeting an update from the Limonero Lewis Community Builders on the status of what you know as East Area 1, progress that's being made as far as some implementation parts to that, and I'm just going to leave it at that and join us for that presentation. That's the end of my comments.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Jenna. Any communications from commissioners? Commissioner DeMuro? Commissioner Wacker? Commissioner Robinson? Commissioner Somers? None for mine. Are there any requests for additional, for future agenda items, commissioners? None? Meeting's adjourned.